Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Before a fair amount of introspection reveals something different, we believe that we are a single unified entity. I'm me. I am me. I think my thoughts and feel my feelings. Upon closer examination, we begin to notice that there is more than one I making up me. Assignment. Review the statements from the voices you jotted down about this issue and begin to identify the various I's having the conversation. One way to do this is to group similar statements. Find a word or phrase that describes each I. It's likely to be a quality or characteristic. RL, what you see. Example, rebellious teenager. Don't tell me what to do. It's just not fair. Independent. When what I do is no one else's business, I get to make my own choices. I don't tell you what to do. What gives you the right to impose your perspective on me? Reasonable. Why can't people see someone else's perspective? Isn't there a way to work this out so both of us have what we want? Philosophical. Sincere people can disagree but still reach a satisfying conclusion. Hopeless. I just can't see a solution. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, Sherry and Ashwini. It's Jen calling from the monastery.
Well, good morning, Jen. What are you working
on? Good morning. I am working on, well, the eye that I was seeing in particular, looking at, was what I call Park Ranger. And this is an identity that seems very upbeat and cheery and like that. Mm-hmm. And I've been working with it for a while, and what I saw as I was looking at it in this assignment was how much it is a block to acceptance. Because what it essentially is, gosh, I mean, can't we all just be nice and kind of lock arms and you know, we can make it all good. Nothing bad ever, you know, painful things might happen, but we can all be nice to each other, and we can all be, and it's a gigantic block to acceptance, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, Jen, what happens to the park ranger when people aren't nice?
Yeah, exactly. that's how you know a block to acceptance. What happens is, first of all, well, there's a number of things, but it can be bewildered, but it quickly goes to crushed and then angry and defensive. And that's what I actually have really seen about it, is that it covers up a whole reality that doesn't get revealed because it's, quote, positive. So, let me just take a minute because it's funny. It's kind of all blocked right now. So last night on the radio show, someone said something that was so moving to me, talking about an experience that they had recently been through. And the thing she said was, I just kept saying to myself, please let me be changed by this.
Okay.
And that, I was reading the acceptance write-up again, and it just feels like acceptance is the portal to us being transformed by life. And that all of the various I's, and in this case for me, this Park Ranger, quote, positive one, is the way to avoid being face-to-face with the thing that's going to transform me.
Yes. Well, and what you're pointing to so clearly is the levels, right? Because
exactly.
Nobody wants to change what's positive. Come on. That's what we're
exactly.
striving for. You want to be positive. Right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you've been practicing for a while, so you know somebody who comes out as the warden and chief executioner,
exactly.
that's going to catch your attention, right? Because that's just do them in, right? Just
yeah.
get rid of them, kill them. That's the solution to this. So you go,
yeah.
okay, well, that was perhaps not the spiritual perspective I want to be coming from. But the park ranger, come
on. Oh, so sincere.
Oh, my God, so good. So good. Yeah. And it's not that you don't have those qualities of goodness. We're not saying that, right?
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
you yes. do want to take care of yes. what is yours to take care of the way a kind, loving, compassionate, present, in quotes, park ranger would want to take care of things.
It precisely.
It has nothing to do with that world of duality that you're uncovering, does it?
Exactly. I was seeing the same thing. I'm like, oh, I'm ahead here on duality. But that's exactly it. It takes the qualities of authenticity and then distorts them so that instead of getting to accept, so for example, I think the authenticity underneath it is just this sense of like, well, goodness with a capital G and all of those things. And what, let's see, so when I can stay in the authenticity, then there it is painful when I come up against something that oh gosh, Sherry, the words are so hard to describe. But
just stop you right there
please,
then?
Absolutely.
Because that's the next place we stumble over. There is uh-huh. no I staying in authenticity having a painful yeah. experience.
Yeah. Mhm.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's the subtle aspect of this, and we can see again how we're fooled by, well, I know what authenticity is and what it feels like, and so when I'm, and now we get to look at, does authenticity have that experience? Because. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so true because that's the truly undefended place is there. Yeah the acceptance is the place where there is no I. There
that's
is
right.
no I
and
it's
where there's nothing wrong
be done. And where there's nothing wrong
yeah. and nothing to suffer.
Yes exactly. Yep.
So we can see mm-hmm. why that positivity is has such good press.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And why, as you say, it can hang on longer than the obviously, quote, negative side of it.
Yes. Because nobody wants, I think, in fact, in spirituality, Ashwini probably knows this, but I think it's called the golden handcuffs or the golden chains or something like that. It's all of what is keeping us in bondage that we don't want to explore mm-hmm. because it's the information that says I'm a good person.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
All right. So thank you, Jen.
Lovely topic. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thanks, Ashwini.
Thanks, Jen.
Go happy.
Oh, Sherry, I'm so excited because I've just been writing about that for our next Musings article.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But that place of how we are not allowed to look at anything that challenges what is good or what is goodness. It's
Ego's
so painful.
Version of that.
Yes, because it's a belief in goodness, not an experience of true nature. Because the experience of true nature wouldn't be challenged by it, is really what you're what we're looking at, right? And that very that process that Jen is pointing to, which is the acknowledgement of what it feels like when that does get challenged, we describe as painful because it is. It's the only way to describe the experience of an identity disintegrating.
Yes. When the identity is faced squarely, mm-hmm. and doesn't get to do what it does to defend itself.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, here's
our
next.
Well, one other little point on that I think is particularly pertinent at this juncture, and that is the amount of Well, and then there's a word that would fit in there, that, and I don't know what that word is. But just to explore what happens when good people know God's will.
Oh, right, exactly. And the context for that in the Musings article is To Kill a Mockingbird, right? And that's exactly what we explored, when good people do God's will. Yeah.
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 Quite frightening.
Yeah. It is quite frightening. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. This is Brian from Asheville.
Hello, Brian. What are you working with?
Wow. What a powerful experience Sangha is. Just to have that first call, like there's still a person trying to be a good person, and to see that and like, oh, and like for that to be, yeah, there's something like painful in it, but it's also like just like a melting and letting, like, I don't know. I don't even have words, but that's a very rich experience.
And Brian, just before you find your direction and go on with where you were before we had that conversation, with that melting that you described, that the disintegration of an identity, to be able to stay with that and not know anything about it.
Yeah, like there's like there. It's so, like, the words are just whatever. There's no, but there's a sweetness in it and a tenderness that is so vulnerable and, like, kind of, like, achingly beautiful. I don't even know what else to say, but, yeah. It's precious in a way, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and even trying to find words for it. We can see how we can be manipulated by ego. And can we just stay in the experience knowing nothing about it?
Yeah. Well, at least I can see that in the sense of like, oh, it's important to have the right word about it rather than just whatever words come. There's that, oh, you know, there's the self-checking that, well, this isn't going to be the right words, but here's what I'm, you know, there's still that trying to do it right or whatever is happening in there.
That's it exactly, which is what we're looking at already this morning, right, is the layers. Okay, and yeah. What we get to see is, okay, there's the next layer that comes up to try to protect that ego identity, and then there's the next layer, there's the next layer, and we don't need to catalog those. We can simply to notice that there are layers is plenty.
Yeah, well, so that's sort of, so there, so to the, you know, to today's assignment, then putting sort of what I'm seeing is the rationality that wants to show up and say, well, the person who's reasonable or philosophical, like if the rationality wants to show up, you know, that part of the mind wants to show up and protect the identity, say, well, but a good person's okay to be right. And you're really just seeing how that's not acceptance, that's a hiding. That's also a hiding. It's also a person. It's a separateness. It's not accepting the unity. It's a what?
You call that person, if in terms of the exercise we're doing, we could say that person is the bargainer, right? Well, but isn't it okay to want, I mean, aren't we supposed to try to be a good person? I mean, isn't that what, and then we could go with the intellectualizer, right? Who's, or the philosopher who's going to try to figure this out rationally, as you say,
yeah.
To, you know,
yeah.
Well, but what is the right answer here? Yeah, and we can.
Yeah, if there is the right answer.
Yeah.
Well, and just what dropped in when you're saying that is just the the all of those things, all of those aspects of ego are a step out of presence. They're a step out of the present moment. It's sort of like grabbing a pose or putting on a costume or like, this is how it's going to, this is where I'm going to be instead of just being here.
That's right. This is how I'm going to be somebody. Somebody. Not simply present. Yeah.
Yeah, I think after years and years of being guided to not do so much thinking, I sort of just had the experience of, it's a step away from presence is what's being pointed at, that it's not, there's a staying with it that may have, you know, is similar and it's showing up.
Actually, what you're seeing, Brian, if I may, is that the staying with the intelligence that is drops in information.
Yeah.
It's not for us to know something. It's a completely different process than ego trying to figure it out so that it can know something, have something to cling to, have an outfit to put on the next time we're in that. This is a process of watching, simply watching life unfold. And that can only happen in presence.
Yeah, that's, and it's ostensibly to defend or protect the person is the story, and really just the other thing, except, like, there's really nothing to be afraid of.
It protects the ego.
Yeah.
It protects the ego, not the person.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Have fun with that.
Uh-huh. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Brian. Sherry, I'm just going to try to bring the next person on because I'm having trouble muting people. So here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, my God. This is Tracy.
Hey, Tracy. What are you working
at
with?
At some point, I'm working with the shock. So,
Tracy, may I just speak to that right there?
Yes.
Because that's a fertile place to attend. And because what you're describing in that, because this happens each time, right? So it's not like it just happened once and I'm going to pick on you here. But to begin to watch, because you put yourself in the queue, right? I mean, you've said, I'm here to be called on. And then what happens between that and being surprised that you're unmuted? What that is, when I do that thing about, and there I am in the kitchen at the monastery with my galoshes on, how did I get there? Because we're meant to take off our outside shoes and put on our inside shoes. So clearly there was a lot going on there that I was completely unaware of, because now I'm surprised to look down and see those galoshes. How does that happen?
Yes.
So it is a subtle place of, I put myself in the queue and then I'm free to go off and do all of these other things rather than be in the expanded awareness that says, I'm present with these people who are speaking and I am in this conversation.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely. And I'm aware of what happened, of getting this place that I'm looking at right now around the addiction of self-hate, and the conversation so far talking about the good person, and in the dialogue just getting hit with, like, oh my gosh, this, like, available good listener is actually a personality I haven't looked at before. And so I think that, like, whoa.
It's a perfect description of what Brian was just talking about, right? So instead of being there watching how conditioned mind is doing that, it is looking through conditioned mind and getting caught up in its story and leaving the conversation.
Yes, exactly. I can so see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's fabulous, right? I mean, that is a huge trap. That's a huge way that ego controls people all the time. You're not alone in this, right? So something happens, and we go to conditioned mind for an explanation, an understanding, the words to describe it, clarity, whatever it is, and we're in ego, and we have no idea because we think that we are in awareness looking at something when we're not. We're in ego identification looking through conditioned mind.
And we didn't know
all that was going to happen from this one little surprise.
No. And Sherry, it makes me, so the next step in practicing with that, like what I'm noticing is when stuff arises, like I'll just grab my recorder and like speak about it. And, you know, there feels to be like this excitement because there's an insight, and that's probably just ego too.
That's exactly right. So Tracy, the way to practice with this is to listen to this recording.
Okay.
To really see the process.
Okay.
Yeah. Because otherwise, the one that you just described is the next layer. Oh, okay. And now we're into the, I think I'm in awareness, but I'm thinking. Oh, okay. So I can see how then, and when that and that and that, and I'm off in conditioned mind, again, believing that I'm in awareness. When awareness is just the sitting still, bringing all the attention back here, just breathing, space between the thoughts, noticing what drops in, noticing what drops in, noticing. And when my hand is going toward that recorder, oh God, I got to capture this. I don't want to lose this. I don't want to forget this. This is so big. This is a big insight. We're staying right here. We're breathing. We're noticing.
Oh my God, it gets going to go freaking nuts. Oh my God. This is like so perfect because, the beginning of the call, I'm like, oh my God, I hope they call me. I'm seeing something about self-hate. And now I'm like, wow, that's ego too.
A whole new world has opened up.
This is all perfect. Oh my gosh, ego's going to go crazy. Okay, I so know.
All right.
I know what's next. I thank you so much for being unmuted. I'm such a perfect workshop.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for being such a good sport.
Yeah. I want to get free.
Yep. All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Tracy.
Bye.
That's exactly it, right, Sherry? The burning in desire, we could say, but that's sort of not a very good word, to be free is the only thing that allows us to look at something that is a good person and let that go. Because from within the good person, it's almost impossible to see that the good person identity is playing out.
Mm-hmm.
Unless somebody points it out to us, right?
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Unless we put ourselves in a position in our lives where that sort of thing is pointed out.
Yeah.
And it's not popular.
No,
right? Most people would rather just be a good person, doing good person things, knowing that I am a good person. I can see who isn't. I can see what they're doing wrong. And so I'll just, and of course the self-hate that goes with that, because mm-hmm. I'm being watched and judged constantly for, well, was that a good person thing? Well, was that a good person thought? Well, are you sure good people would think thoughts like that? Would you mm-hmm. act like that if you were really a... Yeah, mm-hmm. it's just...
Yeah. Well, and it breaks you when you're confronted with someone actually pointing out... I mean, that's really what gets touched when the good person identity is pointed out, right? It's like, how can you say I'm not a good person? Because I spend so much of my time trying to do that.
Yes. Yeah. And, of course, the thing that obscures is that deep desire.
Yeah.
Right? It's how ego, we often talk about, ego uses what is most important to us, what we love the most, against us. Mm-hmm. So there is this deep, deep desire to be with that which is, to dissolve into blah, 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 whatever, however you want to talk about that. And that gets used against us, gets mm-hmm. morphed into, okay, well then, how do you do that? And here we go. And
Well, we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Andrea from Durham.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. So what I'm working on is acceptance of my son, and that's what I'm looking at, and just seeing a huge roller coaster coming up.
May I offer a suggestion then at this juncture?
Sure.
How about if you work on accepting the human being who has such difficulty with how another person is?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Because that's what it comes down to, right?
That's good to hear. Yeah. So what I've been doing is writing down the dialogue and I guess it kind of makes me think of having this perfect way things are supposed to be in order to do recording and listening, and then reminding myself that I have to start where I am.
That's exactly right. And Andrea, here's the really big, big deal about that.
Mm-hmm.
When we step back, so I'll be you, okay? So I've got this child that I love and have been invested in for a long time, right? And I really want, let's call it, we'll say her in this case. I really want her to be okay, to have a good life, to be happy. I really want that. So here comes ego to use that against me. All right. What's really helpful for me to see is I have been in this story all of my life. If my mother were different, then everything, if my father were different, if my siblings were different, if my teachers were different, if my friends were different, if my partners were different, if my job were different, I would be okay. I could be happy. And what happens to us in awareness practice is it gets really narrowed down to the place where you are now, right? Uh-huh. Because there's only, as they say, one constant in this whole story, and that's me.
Right.
Because when she does whatever she does and whatever, there will be someone or something else in that slot.
Yeah, so what you're saying is there's always something to be upset about.
That's exactly right. There's always something for ego to be upset about, to get you to focus on a conversation with it in conditioned mind about what's wrong with this and how it should be different, and you can't be okay until you figure out what to do and you become the person who can solve this problem.
Exactly, yeah. Fix it.
And it's all horse pucky.
All right. Well, thank you for reminding me that, because ego, what ego does is it pulls out the really real card.
Oh, absolutely. This is your child.
Yeah.
This is your child. This is not even your child's father. This is your child. This, yeah. if it's ever going to be really, really, really real, this is it.
Exactly. Right?
And it's just an escalation of the same horse pucky story that's been going on since you were probably two.
Yep, and it's basically the horse pucky story of what to do, and I guess really I can get out of that and just let life drop in, right?
That's exactly it. That's exactly it. And here's the my best encouragement, okay?
Yes.
Find out what you really want. Now you could look at what you want for him.
Mm-hmm.
And that could give you a clue about what you want.
So when you say what I want,
your deepest heart's desire.
Okay.
Your deepest heart's desire for him, for you, for every human being, everything on this planet. What is your deepest heart's desire?
Okay. Focus on that instead.
Yep. Well, and let's continue the conversation. Let me know. Okay. Let us know what you come up with, because that's going to be really important. But yes, that's what you do, because that's what we have to choose. We have to choose what we truly want, not ego's bull hockey.
Okay. All right. Thank you, yeah. Sherry.
You are so welcome.
Thanks, Andrea. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. Hang on, let me mute Andrea. There we go. And our assignment for today. Our definition of a subpersonality aspect of ego is a collection of beliefs, assumptions, and projections with a unique worldview and distinct language. Assignment. Take each of the descriptors from the previous assignment and begin to flesh out each I such that you can recognize each as a distinct personality. Write down the language each uses, what they project onto the world, and onto others, the world, and you. And from that, get a sense of each personality's worldview. As you work with this, make sure you stay on topic, confining the exploration to the specifics of what you're looking at this month. RL, what you notice. Example.
Sorry. I thought you were finished. Go ahead.
Independent beliefs that we are each capable of taking responsibility for our own lives and behaving responsibly, and that everyone needs to be respectful of each other's boundaries and not impinge on one another's freedom. This is her priority, and it's upsetting when others don't behave as they should.
Yes, and the fact that we know the answer doesn't minimize or negate the importance of doing the step-by-step process that we're laying out in this.
Mm.
Okay, there are no shortcuts.
Right.
We have to do it step-by-step-by-step. So I didn't want what I just said to Andrea to make it sound like, oh, okay, well then, new direction, we forget about, because all of this that we're focused on is what's keeping us from being able to live what each one of us knows intuitively is, in quotes, the right answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Yes, go happy.